The team members have also to support this initiative, and management has to have a mandate and approve the budgets for these resources, IT infrastructure requirements, software licenses, and other such requirements. Certification, assessment, and auditing are big expense, and therefore, assessment and certification, whether one needs to go for it, what are the benefits, has to be clearly identified, listed down, thought of before going for it. Auditing, both internal audit and external audit are useful to ensure that the processes are current, the compliance documentations are current, the implementation is happening, and gives a lot of comfort to the management team, and hence auditing is required to ensure that it is done in that same fashion. Again, cost depends on the IT that we have. ROI is totally theories and explorations. There is difficult to do. Good understanding is required, obviously, before deciding on the final cost, gains, and profits. Accountability is critical for compliance success. And accountability normally in our rules and laws only make it a CEO or a CFO initiative. New ways have emerged to align IT leaders with policies and compliance requirements. So quality management, peer comparison, or management by objective. It is very important for management to use more of positive approach rather than a negative ones. So more carrot rather than a stick, rewards and recognitions and punishments. Training management. So it is not important that few key people are involved in the compliance or automation of reports and stuff like that. All the team members, all the organization should be adhered to reach the compliance goal. You have to be the most compliant organization as far as possible. And therefore, that requires a lot of training, both internally, sometimes with external consultants. Some trainings are very project specific or law specific. But generally, trainings are required, and each of the training programs can be mapped to either a SEI key process area, Six Sigma, critical to thing, high risk area in ITCM, etc. We need to have a quality orientation program for new joinees as part of the introduction into technology and elsewhere to ensure that all new joinees in the company understand the responsibility and their role into ensuring that the organization is compliant to all rules and regulations, internal and external and regulatory, which the company wants them to follow. Of course, one needs to track the training calendar, have some records, because that is one important proof for the auditor to ensure that the adequate training has been given to all employees. Therefore, top management needs to ensure a well-designed compliance program with a well-integrated approach to training management. There has to be different levels of training for different people, and the training program design should take care of that. Risk management. The management needs to identify all the risk areas, the impact of each risk, action plans to mitigate the risk, and take corrective or preventive action, and ensure the smooth implementation of all the suggestions that are come up to ensure that the risk is reduced. And risk in implementing a standard could be lack of management commitment, lack of stakeholder buy-in, skilled resource, budget constraints, timely availability of appropriate resource, appropriateness of the standard for stated goals. So these are risks while implementing a standard. So what is important? Should we become certification focused or process focused? Is always a question haunting the management, and if we have conflicting organization priorities, then it becomes all the more difficult. Every compliance program requires a complex involvement of people in all aspects of business, and human capital risk is an important focus area for the management. Knowledge management, very important for all organizations to have a knowledge repository, which is part of the knowledge management in an organization. This knowledge repository helps in estimating future projects if you get of similar nature, type, technology, or domain. In software, you can reuse the components, which saves efforts, and more importantly avoids defects and builds foundation for compliance. Process efficiency can also be improved by leveraging ITIL best practice service management. So knowledge base helps the organization to present the most common question and possible answers or problems faced in past in what are the steps taken, and therefore helps the current team members to ensure that they can avoid those problems, because the answer is already known. They can build on that answer and make a better answer for those problems. So how to articles, user manuals, frequently asked questions are normally part of knowledge management database which the organization has. You can also use the knowledge management database, especially if you are in the product or into an area where you have a lot of interaction with the end user or customers, with the news announcement, release information, product updates, etc., using the knowledge management system. Existing project details, industry practices can be captured in an effective manager help bins, so any pre-sales person can use that. Obviously, strong knowledge management system supports compliance, and a knowledge-driven organization has an edge in the competitive world. Interdepartment collaboration. So it is not that within your own department you collaborate and work together. It's very important to have an interdepartment collaboration if the organization has to succeed. And therefore, for any customer engagement which involves more than one department, or which may not directly involve but indirectly, the inter-department collaboration is very important. There has to be a cross-departmental sharing of processes, responsibilities to establish the most effective compliance program. And airlines industry is obviously one of the best example of inter-departmental collaboration. This is only possible if you have a positive work culture, a work culture which gives an opportunity to everyone, which has trust as one of the most important quality. People trust each other, then inter-department collaboration becomes very easy. Sharing of responsibility across functions can improve inter-department cooperation and further align IT with business needs. Compliance with SOX and similar regulations has increased company-wide knowledge of business process and controls, and this has helped to build a broader understanding of IT department activities, because there is no choice, they have to sign it off with other departments, and closer alignment between IT and the rest of the company. Audit management. Audits, both internal, external, financial, vendor, etc., must be facilitated through a real-time system, and appropriate evidence must be presented by the organization to demonstrate compliance. So no longer will an auditor ask a question, you dig out the evidence and give it to him. It is preferable that your audit management system be such a way that real-time information is provided to the auditor, which has ample evidence of what he is looking into, so that we can determine compliance. Audits are conducted on existing status of compliance and not maybe or not happened. Occurrence of good practice and compliance is already there prior to the audit exercise. So we need not wait for audit exercise, we can update the audit management system. Findings of the audit reflect the importance the organization gives to the processes. Audits needs to be part of the routine job and organization culture. It should be part of the planning for the project. Because if you don't, then he's going to be an overhead to the project, which is what you want to avoid. And handling audits of multiple standards in the organization is a challenge, but still needs to be done. Management needs to get involved in looking over the audit body and integrating the audit cycles, considering the risk and the trade-offs. Conducting auditors training is one of the best practices in auditing management in the IT organization. So auditors training you conduct for everyone. So everyone, although not designated an auditor, also thinks like an auditor while implementing any solution, and therefore auditors find it easy to get the things done. Forming a team of internal auditor helps to look at practice and process of other projects and units in the organization, as they are aware of the organization's culture, approach, estimation models and things like that. And of course, it builds a good auditor-auditee relationship, and therefore it avoids conflicts. Technology management. We've already discussed that technology has become omnipresent. and has changed the business drivers. Virtualization and cloud are concepts now which have been implemented successfully all around us. Technology advancements has only led to complexity of implementing new standards and complying with requirements, especially in the area of security. Security risks have jumped many folds, and it is becoming more and more complex to ensure that the system processes in virtualization and cloud environment have taken care of security. So the management must review the impact of technology for their project organization. Organization setups have become more heterogeneous, and each layer of new technology brings its challenge into policy compliance, and management needs to look at the complexity and integrate diverse technology infrastructure for managing compliance. So it's become tough. Change management, change is inevitable, as the old adage goes, there's nothing permanent but change, but it needs to be managed. So change management is how you adapt to change and how do you manage the change. Sometimes is the differentiating factor between success and failure for any organization or any project. So it's very important, and when you're implementing multiple standards for the same area of work, change management plays a big part. It includes integration of processes, models, frameworks, and interdependence and dependency of various standards. So Kaizen, just in time, is a well proven methodology to speed up change process. Maintaining a high discipline of compliance requires a process mindset, and change management needs to address all such issues right from implementation till audit and assessment if the company is going for the assessment. Event management, it's in compliance in systems approach for compliance management. You will come across incidents which have taken place. It is very important that all these events are recorded, the reasons for these events are identified, and corrective and preventive actions are taken. There's no point in brushing up of these events under the carpet, because if not handled well now, will lead to further pain going forward. Management must give enough space, scope, and flexibility and autonomy to the team to ensure that the event management or incident management is reported without fear, and all corrective and preventive actions that are required are taken by the company or by the team that is responsible for it. Why this will be helpful? Because if the incidents are listed down, what will happen is soon you will be able to anticipate some incidents happening, and you already have a response available for it. You will, because you are anticipating, whenever that incident happens, your response is ready, you'll respond in a planned fashion, and you will avoid chaos and stress within the project team or the organization. So that's what it says. So review all this log, analyze the cause, determine. Then governance focus. So it is not that all processes once clearly defined will just continue flourishing as it is. There has to be a mechanism through which all these processes are managed, are reviewed and checked. So that comes under governance. So how does the company manage its process? Governance decides it. Whether they do a weekly review, monthly review, quarterly review, fortnightly, what area, what kind of processes they pick up, are all processes covered, are sampling done for processes, is something which the governance comes out. Management must of course monitor and ensure that process deviations are handled in a much refined way, and to understand why process definitions took place and deviations took place, and introduce a review mechanism to ensure that the deviations are managed well. Because of that, the governance also means training people, ensuring everyone understands what is the reason for deviation, what they can deviate, what is non-negotiable for deviations, and so a lot of training needs to go into it. There is a separate governance body which observes the current culture and takes steps, training, hand-holding, mentoring to ensure that the organization moves in the direction which they wanted. Good, dedicated and focused leaders should be identified for caring for this task. Compliance scorecard and dashboard management. So, dashboards and compliance scorecards are just indicators of how well you are doing, what are the areas that needs your attention, what you need to improve it, where you are doing very well and that practices needs to be shared. Is the summary, a very top level summary which is available, and this kind of once you have done the basic hard work at the ground level, set up the processes, ensured all the standards, implemented. So once you've laid down the foundation and implemented all the processes that are required and set up the measuring tools, then creation of dashboard is very easy. It has to be kept in mind that the dashboard is designed for the audience that is supposed to see the dashboard, and from the dashboard, what are the actionables that should be clearly identified. That is the benefit of having dashboards. So as we rightly discussed, dashboards are required by different people for different objectives, and a simple dashboard as an example for project manager could be the effort status, the schedule status, resource utilization, customer complaints, bugs and things like that. Dashboards serve operational, strategic, executive or analytical purpose. Most of the dashboards includes graphs, charts or other visual indicators that a user chooses to monitor. The reason is, study has shown that human mind is able to understand graphs, pictures much faster than words. As the saying goes, a picture can convey what more 1,000 words cannot convey. Similarly, because human mind can capture visually much better, dashboards typically are designed with graphs or charts or other visual indicators. So good dashboard is something where there is enough space, there is less of clutter, and the key points are identified whether good or bad, so that the user or the person who is using the dashboard should have a clear idea on which are the areas that he or she must attack and which are the areas he or she must ensure and give kudos to the team. As a result, what will happen is, if it is too much cluttered or he has to look at everything, then he may miss out the basic things. The dashboard should give him one view and actionable items very fast and immediate, so that his time is only meant in execution, in taking corrective or preventive actions and congratulating the right team, and not looking into small MISs around the place. If all the MISs and everything is what he needs to do, then there's no point of creating a dashboard. For compliance management, a dashboard must have a single enterprise-wide dashboard for all users to track and trend compliance events. So it has to be clearly identified which are the compliance events, what are the metrics that you are going to track as a compliance manager, and then you can build an enterprise-wide dashboard for the same. The management decides the KPIs, that is key performance indicators, and sometimes for an individual KPI is also put up there. Same thing, compliance events can be viewed easily there, and all stakeholders can make use of the dashboards to take decision on the compliance status of the organization if the compliance dashboard is prepared by the enterprise. Balanced scorecard is one of the methodology for a management feedback system, providing feedback on internal business process and external outcomes, and to continuously keep improving the strategic performance and results. It has more prescriptive format and heavily tied to company's vision and mission. This is balanced scorecard is normally top down, where all the activities that you do are aligned to business goals, and then there is a scorecard or a dashboard which lists down on what path you are and how much percentage you have contributed to ensure in the target of achieving company's goals. It is called balanced because the scorecard includes measurement for many aspects of business, including both long-term and short-term indicators. Balanced scorecard looks at four different perspectives. One is the financial perspective, the customer perspective, the business process perspective, and learning and growth perspective. And for compliance management, the balanced scorecard will highlight links between process and the outcomes, and it will help the management to focus on managing different components to achieve the organizational strategic goals of compliance. Recognition, dissemination and ongoing cultural management. So organization need to have a continuous campaign for ongoing continuously in the organization to maintain and keep up the level of compliance, and they have to keep sending information, sharing success stories, releasing motivational newsletter, customer appreciation, and recognizing the quality champions so that people are motivated to do all things that are required to ensure compliance and improve the compliance levels. So management also needs to recognize talent and contribution of the employee, and recognition could be there. So there could be felicitation, dinner with CEO, CFO, marketing head and things like that to encourage people to keep the contributing to compliance programs. Finally, we go into compliance implementation steps. And as we know, every organization has its own individual needs and requirement, and therefore have its own approach to implement a new standard or regulation. So pre-assessment validation is an important step for first-time implementation. And assuming the top management has done due diligence of the business need, the pre-assessment validation, cost-benefit analysis, and appropriateness of particular standard for implementation, the steps that can be followed to implement the compliance system are: 1. Assign a champion, which is either from a board or the CEO of the organization. They have to appoint a person as the compliance champion for the program. Implementation of standard for compliance, small projects, they should take it out. Internal sponsor and the compliance champion together prepare a proposal for the board's review on the proposal. Set up smaller task force or core team, as we call it, reporting to compliance champion. Determine the scope, targets, outcome, times. It's like an entire project management but for the compliance. Do a reality check, look at the key areas and see which are the resources that you need in the team for the program. Once you identify key influence who play a key role during implementation phase, identify projects in which to get data, processes, practices, do a pilot with them, and once it is ready, then you can roll out on other projects. Plan for task force to automate the requirements for new standards and assess the risk within the organization towards achieving the objectives. Once you have done all that, you have done the data, you have piloted, you have got the details, you are very sure that this is how the implementation of the project should take place and you will meet the compliance standard, you present your findings, suggestions and recommendations to the management for an enterprise-wide plan or maybe step-by-step enterprise-related plan. And once your proposal, suggestions and findings are reviewed and discussed, you will get the approval for implementation along with the budget. Communication, as we discussed before, communication is one of the key pillars of success for any project in any organization today. It's not only within the organization, even externally communication plays a very big part in ensuring the right message goes to the right people across the spectrum in which you want to communicate. So it's very important that you communicate to all stakeholders within the organizations, departments or projects. Roles and responsibilities should be clearly communicated, expectations should be done, and buy-in should be sought from senior management. Documentations of standards. So teams have to gather all practices and document the requirement, map it to the standards, and see how you are going to implement the standards and provide data validity that you have implemented the standards. The lead person may set up war room for this purpose, but that's more of a show. What is really required is get everyone aligned to the goal of implementing the standards and then start implementation. Every activity in the project needs to be mapped to one of the standards, and post completion quality manual is taken up. Review is essential, so maker checker concept has to be followed in documenting it, and therefore documentation should contain details of process area, procedures, roles, responsibilities, prerequisite, forms, formats, templates, etc. And after that, training plan has to be done. Awareness material is also prepared for getting the teams ready for rollout. Determining automations. Very important that a lot of things get automated. But it is equally important to understand what needs to get automated. So what is clearly the definition of the project, the defining of the process, what you want to measure, how you want to measure, and once it is documented, agreed, reviewed, tested, then you take the next step towards automating the same. Please don't forget, automation has a cost associated with it, and any change in the process, underlying process, also leads to change in the automation portion of it, which increases the cost, and therefore one has to be very careful on what we are automating. We know why we are automating, but what we are automating is very important. Once you automate, it eases the audit purpose anyway, it helps the organization as a whole, but there is a associated cost associated with it, so that needs to be kept in mind. Maturity levels. So if you are planning to go for CMM or not planning to go, you may still do the assessment to find out at what maturity level you are operating. Only if you want to declare it publicly do you need an external assessment and get it done. If you don't need to declare externally but you want to check your processes yourself, then doing an internal assessment is also good enough, and you know internally how you are, and you can go the path of continuous improvement by determining your current maturity levels and planning on how to reach out to the higher maturity levels. Training awareness. So pilot projects for training, see the feedback of training, identify training needs, and see what if this training is very effective in what you are doing and the way it will help in overall implementation of the training. So general awareness and dedicated workshop. Pilot rollout. It is normally recommended that whatever you design as a new process should be rolled out on a pilot basis with one project or one department, one city, and its results analyzed, and only if it is found suitable, working and beneficial to the organization, that it should be rolled out across the organization. Here the champions team plays a very crucial role to assist this special project, and pilot phase also identifies the process areas, definitions that needs to be tailored to suit a project specific need. Final assault. So obviously in parallel to pilot rollout, the core team must keep its plan ready for organization wide rollout with milestones, get and identify a key influencers, get them trained and ready for this role, conduct training and awareness session, set up review teams, and once the results of pilot rollout is known and you are presented with your findings and summary to the management and you've got the management approval, then the final assault, which is the rollout across the organization, can easily be done. Remediation management. So every audit brings up deficiency or non-conformance must be addressed immediately, and or if it cannot be addressed immediately, you must have a plan for addressing the same, and the team which is responsible for ensuring that it is complied with must work at it, find out the audit findings, review, and get into the root cause. We move into the final topic, which is ethics and compliance, topic 5. So majority of compliance management exercise focuses on integrating compliance with daily business operation. Benefit of compliance go beyond improving performance through monitoring and corrective action. Management has a bigger role to play than providing the best of resource, budget and facilities. What management needs to do is build an ethical culture. What is ethical culture? Management must establish an effective compliance program, corporate culture. So you must have a code of conduct and code of ethics, or a combination of the two, which every employee must go through, read and acknowledge. And most importantly, organization stroke management need to be committed to culture of integrity and ethical behavior. So company must establish a working environment that enables its employees to conduct their work and hence the business in accordance with the highest ethical standards and obviously in compliance with the law. You cannot do an illegal activity. Acting with integrity in compliance with laws will protect the organization in a technical and legal sense, but it will also bring a greater impact by reflecting the organization's character as a business to its clients, business patterns and society, business partners and society. An ethical compliance management program will ensure that the mechanisms are placed to provide early warnings in deviations of the guidelines or the regulations. As always, we come with the self-assessment question at the end of the chapter. So you will have these self-assessment questions like what are the different difference between descriptive and prescriptive models? Why should companies conduct an assessment or certification audit? Has the auditee has no useful role in the audit process? He only shows document as per auditor's request. Do you agree with this statement or you can debate this statement? What does the term systems approach mean in the context of compliance management? Describe any two management functions to sustain compliance in any organization. What is the difference between balanced scorecard and a dashboard and how do they help in compliance management? What do you understand by compliance should become a culture in the organization? What do you mean by gap analysis as part of steps in documentation of the standards? And what is the importance of ethics in an organization? How does it help in compliance? With that, we come to the end of chapter 6. As always, thank you for your time and all the best.